Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspire Choices Network. So today, I am going to be sharing a little bit more about the last few months, which quite honestly have not been easy. Today, what I'll be sharing with you is the truth about the hard stretch. The workload, yes, but more than that, the energetic toll of holding as much as I do. And what I have found over the last couple of months is that in a lot of ways, it felt really, really lonely. And I sat one day and I asked myself a question, which coincidentally is the name of today's show, which is, who holds the leader? Today is meant to be an honest account of what actually held me. And it might surprise you to know that it wasn't just necessarily people. It actually took me a while to identify the people that I felt were holding me. But more importantly, my spiritual practice and ultimately my spiritual team, who reminded me that the lonely story wasn't actually true. I channeled a message that I maybe didn't want to hear, that I cannot pour from an empty cup. The energy work that I leaned into had moved me from being stuck and having stale energy in my body, but ultimately it didn't fully replenish me. So today, what I am asking is, who holds the leader? So at first, when I asked myself this question, the answer that came to me was maybe not the truth initially. It was one of those moments where I was like, ultimately, nobody holds me. And I was almost like being quite, well, I was being pouty, if I'm being really honest, but it's how I felt in that moment. But as I sat back and I continued to ponder this, I ask you, leaders who are maybe joining me here today, when you're carrying as much as we carry as leaders, who ultimately will hold you while you're doing that? And I'm not just talking about, you know, the heavy workload of doing the work and holding everybody else and being the mentor and being the coach and being the visionary, the strategist, the advisor, the counselor, the all the things. But, you know, when I talk about the energetic work, when I interact with people, I'm literally tuning into their energy. So there's that piece. And we all have this. It's called intuition. I actively work on mine. So it's part of every single interaction, or at least I try to lean on it in every single interaction. And there is a piece within that that I really felt on this particular, in these last few months, because there was, of course, I knew this workload that we were going to be engaging in. I know what's on our plate. I know what's coming up. I know the goals and objectives that we have for the organization for the balance of the year. But what I didn't anticipate was the deepening of that energetic piece that I'm talking about. And when I say that it drained me, I mean it literally left me completely tapped out. If you've been following along on this journey with me over the last few months, over the last few episodes, I've been talking about how my body was speaking to me, the tension headaches, the knots in my back, the short fuse, the emotionalness of it, and all of these things were pointing in one direction, which was ultimately burnout, which I talked about a few episodes back as well. But on that day, when I was asking myself, who holds the leader, I recognized in that moment anyways, what it felt like was no one. When push comes to shove, I felt like there were zero people who really understood the journey, the walk, the way that I choose to engage with the walk. And I'll be really honest, I felt a lot of resentment in that moment. But then, true to form, spirit came through and reminded me of a very, very different story. And it always comes when you least expect it. It was one of those moments where, and these answers usually come to me usually first thing in the morning, first thing that pops into my head usually is an answer to a question that I've posed, like, the night before or in the days before. And I'll usually wake up and be like, oh, I got it. And true to form, this particular awareness was no different. And it felt like, almost like you're not al as alone as you think. So what did I do? I got on the phone, I used my lifelines, and I called in the cavalry. And I said, literally, help. I've got this many weeks in front of me. I'm absolutely drained and exhausted. I need, and these folks don't work with me. These are just, well, I'll call them my soul sisters. There are people in my network who understand what it is to walk this journey. And let me be very clear what I mean when I say the journey. I'm not talking about the journey that's just that of somebody who is in a leadership position. If it's not clear or evident to you now, the way that I'm talking about this journey is in the full integration of the practical with the spiritual, the full integration of the practical with the energetic. And that is not necessarily something that everybody fully understands and the toll that it can take. So like I said, I picked up the phone, called my soul sisters and said, hey, I need support over the next few weeks. And all of them said, without a shadow of a doubt, we got you. And so I booked phone calls with them, three of them. So I booked a phone call with each of them for every week while I am going through this patch. And so they've been true to their word. They've been there for me, and we've chatted. And just having a place to unload, having a place to explain what I'm talking about or share what I'm talking about and, give it to someone or help someone, talk to somebody who can help shoulder it, or alternatively, give me something different to think about, the perspective. And interestingly enough, what I found happened during these last few weeks is so many of my staff have found themselves in my office. And, one of them said to me recently, she said, you can read me really well and I don't like it. Most people can't read me this well. And I said, well, I sloughed it off and I said, well, I said, communication is 80% nonverbal. But what was interesting about this particular interaction is she's having a really tough time. A really, really, really challenging time. Many of my people have been having a really challenging time. And it's just the nature of where we are right now. There's many things for us to do on a daily basis. And the load feels almost insurmountable. So I often say to my people, I have an open door policy, please use it. And what I mean when I say open door policy is I mean, if you need a place to cry, fill your boots, come do it and feel no shame. And I'm so beyond pleased that some of them have really been taking me up on that. And really, what's dawning on me in this moment is the very thing that I initially was so resistant on doing, which was simply just asking for a place, another human being where I could just put it down and I could say, this is what I'm struggling with. I didn't need anybody to fix it. I didn't need anybody to do anything other than listen and hold space. So this thing that I was so resistant to do, and I preach all the time. That was the other interesting thing. This is stuff I talk about all the time, right? Like sharing and unloading and having a safe place and containers and all of these things. But yet I was so resistant to do it, or I was expecting it in places that weren't suitable. And that doesn't mean that it was right or wrong. It just means that that group, that container, whatever, might not have been able to hold what I had to put down. So over the last few weeks and months, with me walking through this and having this realization, as soon as I was willing to let my guard down and ask for help and admit that there's so much to carry, I've invited these folks in, and they are now in turn doing the same thing. And what I found is that it was really in those one-to-one, really vulnerable moments when I could be honest and say to, you know, there was a few of them when they were, you know, wiping their eyes ferociously and not trying to feel what they were feeling. And I was like, why are you doing that? Like, I don't understand. And here's the funny part. I was doing the same thing. I was literally in my bathroom crying, crying and crying, and then coming back out and putting Visine in my eyes and making sure that I like looked, you know, proper and everything is, you know, mask firmly back in place. Never let them see you sweat or cry. But here I was in these one-to-one conversations, very clearly saying to these individuals that for one person, what I actually did was I drew a picture. It was just a stick person. And they were saying, I don't know why I'm so upset about this. And I said, well, clearly you're upset because there's something that you're choosing not to acknowledge. And the more you try and push it away, the more it will persist. And it was an intense day for this person. And so finally, at one point during the few conversations that we had, I drew a stick person and I said, here are your feelings. And I was just like drawing little squiggle lines all over the thing. And I said, and this is what happens when you continue to push them down. And I, you know, made it a thicker marker and I just went over it. Like, but I wish I had a whiteboard right now to show you what I came up with. I said, that is what your body looks like right now with all that stuff that you are holding on to and you refuse to release for what? Because you think I'm going to judge you? Because you think it's not okay for there to be vulnerability? And as soon as I did that, they looked at my picture and they went, oh, I don't want that. And that was the end of that. You know, went off and did their thing. And so the point that I'm ultimately trying to get at is that as soon as I was willing to be honest and engage with the fact that I too was holding on to, you know, personal things and work things and, you know, all the things that come up on a day-to-day basis, which was becoming very difficult to function. I had to equally find a way to put it down. And it took me a long time to figure out that, you know, the crying wasn't doing enough. The multiple massages was not doing enough. The dimmed rooms was not doing enough. The yoga was not doing enough. The drinking, like, so I went through a list of all the things that I thought of that I could do to like address this. But the one thing that I needed at that moment was quite simply just a place, a container, somewhere that I could trust to say, hey, I'm not doing great right now. And I need to have a place to share this load. And so it's funny how, as much as I talk about these things on a regular basis, I still struggle to sometimes remember. And so the reason why I share these things ultimately is so that you can see that this is not perfection. This is simply remembering to practice it. And that's what it is. It's a practice. We're not taught to be in the workplace and be okay with sharing our feelings. I mean, let alone we're not even taught to, I mean, it's changing now, but in previous generations, you sucked it up, you took it on the chin, you pulled up your knickers. You didn't let them see you sweat. You didn't let them see vulnerability, none of those things, because it was a sign of weakness. And frankly, with one of the folks that I was talking to, I said, you know, I've come to the place myself and I'm still struggling with this because as much as I said it, I know deep down I equally struggle with it. But when I was talking to someone this week, I said, I think that the ability to show vulnerability and when you are in a difficult spot is actually an immense sign of courage, that you are willing to trust and that you are willing to show that vulnerability. It takes a lot more to bare your underbelly than it does to like hold that all in. So that is the preamble to all of the things here as we talk about who holds the leader. So just to recap here, the question posed at the very beginning, and if you're sitting with this right now, I would ask you as a leader, who is holding you? You know, you might be a CEO or a managing director or, C-suite, or even just responsible for managing people. And as a leader, there's a different way that you obviously need to move within an organization or institution, or even just in your family or life and your social circles, whatever the case may be. And so the question is if you are holding that space in any one of those capacities that I've just mentioned, who's holding you when you need it? I'm going to leave you with that as we go to our first break. We'll be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I am posing a question to all of you. If you are a leader, who holds you when you need it? And today, in the first segment, what I've been sharing is a very vulnerable moment where I felt like I was doing all the things that I needed to do to carry this immense load. As I'd mentioned right before going to break, the journaling, the yoga, the massages, the dark rooms, the drinking the water, all the things, the energy work, the breath work, like the list is long. And eventually realizing like what I really just wanted was just a human being that I could share the load with. And in the first segment, I was saying when I posed the question to myself, who holds me? The answer that I said in that moment, which was truth for me in that moment, but not true as I sat with the question, the initial answer was no one. I was angry about it. But as I'm sharing here today, I eventually realized that wasn't the case at all, and that wasn't true. So over the last few months, I've also been facing myself, which is equally part of this fun journey, which is facing the parts of ourselves that we're not always super proud of or fond of or excited about even. And I'll tell you, there have been a few times in these last few months where I was just like, I'm leaving. I'm packing my stuff and I'm going home. I'm getting out of here. And but I was really proud of myself because I recognized the pattern for what it was. I recognized, and the answer came to me again in the soft, quiet moments of a morning when I was journaling and I was doing this exercise. I was reading this book, or I have revisited a book that I found last year or found me last year, and it's called You're a Channel. And at some point, I was going through my Audible library and I didn't even see the book, but it was almost like being reminded, like, hey, what about that book you read last year about channeling? Remember that one? Go back to it. So I did. I went back to this book. It's called You're a Channel. And I started listening to it from the very beginning. What a gem. That's why I know it was guidance, because there were so many juicy pieces that I had practiced last year. And you know how things are, right? You pick something up, you try it, it works. And then I don't know about you guys, but me, I'm like, okay, something new comes, woo, we'll move over there, right? Like shiny object, squirrel with some things. And this was one of those things. So I'd put the book down a year ago, picked it back up this year, and I started this practice called automatic writing, or restarted. So this automatic writing, for anyone who's not familiar with it, is the practice of maybe starting with some breath work and a little bit of meditation. This is not meant to be super long, the breath work and meditation. It's just to calm and center you. The meditation is, again, to get the monkey mind under control or let it get its activity out. And then when you move to the automatic writing piece, it's meant to be just whatever comes to you, treating yourself like the channel that we are all, that we all genuinely are. And so I went back to this practice. And as I was doing this, it was like there's this guided meditation that takes you from being in your head, like into your heart center. Really, really beautiful meditative practice. But when I got there in my heart space, it was like, it was calm, it was peaceful, it was warm, it was glowy. And I was just like, still in the middle of the chaos of where I am right now. But it was almost like this thing that I was searching for. Like the, remember the pattern, which is I'm feeling overwhelmed, let me run. But then I also remember that no matter where I go, I still got to take myself with me. It doesn't matter how many things I pack and fly wherever to, I still have to take myself to me. So I better figure out this peace business on my own whenever I need to. So it was the return to this practice that I had put on a shelf about a year ago that had reminded me that I can create that inner peace for myself in any moment in time. It was literally three breaths, maybe five, you know, another few minutes with a meditative practice and then this automatic writing. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is because it's what I have learned to turn to over these last few weeks and months, which is just, you know, getting to that space of peace and calm and clarity so that I can, for lack of putting it a better way, channel the information that I need for that day specifically and carry on. So at some point, however, this is where the frustration came from. I was like, you know, I'm in my journal and I'm expressing my frustration over, you know, this is great. This is awesome. Fantastic. I've got this channeling practice and yeah, I believe in the divine and the source and the universe and all that good stuff. But hey, sometimes a girl just needs a hug. She just needs a human being to talk to. And it was like, ask and you shall receive, right? Because it was in that moment that when I was expressing my frustration around, I just want a person that can understand where I'm coming from, that can go, girl, I got you. I get it. I hear you. I know. Poor you. That's really what I wanted. I wanted someone to pat my back and be like, oh, it's okay. You're going to be okay. And it was also in that moment that it was like, well, you're not alone. I'm like, okay, but like, I mean, people. And then these people that I turned to came to my mind, right? So, and that's what I was saying in the first segment is that when I was outside of when I finally was able to like be really honest with myself in terms of what I needed, like what was I asking for? It was almost like spirit or the divine was like, well, what are you really asking for? What is it that you want right now? Like you've got you know what this is, being surrounded by all kinds of people and yet feeling like nobody understands what I'm carrying. And so what I was really asking for was somebody who could give me, okay, these folks are not, any of them are not here. It's all virtual and whatnot. But, you know, give me a virtual hug. Give me a virtual pat on the back. Give me a virtual, girl, I got you. It's going to be okay. That's what I wanted. And like I said, as soon as I was able to vocalize that, then the answer came. And as I said in the first segment, true to form, I picked up the phone, called all of these folks, and every one of them was like, absolutely, we will be there for you and with you. So today, I think, is maybe one of the first days that I have actively and openly talked about this channeling business. And the reason why it was, I think I'm bringing it up here, is because sometimes we don't always have the answers, and at least not in our logical, fully aware, logical mind. And the one thing that I would say that I've really, really worked on practicing, and I encourage all of the people around me, leaders as well, is to begin to work on that intuitive piece that's within each and every one of us. So when I hear people saying things like, you know, this gut instinct, or their intuition says this, or they feel like they should do that, I encourage it. And I will say, you should follow that. And I don't even follow it up with, who cares if you're wrong? Because in my head, I'm like, it doesn't matter if you're wrong. That's how you build the trust. That's how you build the muscle. That's how you build the practice. And intuition is a form of channeling. There's many, many different forms, but the one that I talked about openly and actively here is the automatic writing. It is different than journaling, because journaling is specific. It's not as intentional, right? Journaling is literally just an outpouring. I mean, I guess it could be, but my point is that when you go through this practice of taking yourself out of your mind and into your heart space, and you will know you're in your heart space because it will be calm. You will not feel elevated. You will not feel low. You will just feel completely neutral and very calm. And so I'm offering this as a practice to the leaders or anybody else who is engaging with me here today, so that when you are feeling this overwhelm and you don't know where to go, what to do, how to bring this calm, because ultimately at the end of the day, each and every one of us need to be able to, yes, it's a fully human experience and it's meant to be an interaction with other people that we work with and that we lead, 100%. But sometimes we're meant to use, not sometimes, often, this is what I'm talking about. Often, I think it's the integration of the spiritual and the practical. And the point that I'm trying to get at is that sometimes we need to be able to find the clarity in ways that are not so fully logical. So for those of you that are listening that are not familiar with the automatic writing practice, just as a recap, you would start with some breath work, 3 to 5 breaths to calm and center yourself. You would allow your mind to go through its normal overactivity, we'll say. And when your mind calms down, you visualize yourself like just moving down into your heart space. You will know that you're there because you'll just feel calm. You'll feel completely neutral. You won't be activated one way or another. And the easiest question to ask yourself is, what is it that I need to know for today? And whatever comes to you, whatever you think, whatever you hear, whatever you feel, write it and trust that that is guidance that you are meant to follow. The other piece of this particular activity that is extremely helpful, because it's completely normal and natural to ask yourself questions like, did I make that up? Or was that really a guide? Or who's talking to me, kind of thing, right? Totally natural to question yourself. We all do it. And you will continue to do it for quite some time. But the other part of the exercise is to read it back to yourself, voice recorded. So voice, like read it, voice record it, and then listen to it. And what you will get will usually be just so loving and so supportive, and just it'll give you a sense of peace and calm within whatever it is that you happen to be grappling with. So that's an exercise that I'm going to invite all of you to do. If you've never heard of it before, that's called automatic writing, and it is a form of channeling that you can use to help you move through whatever it is that you are grappling with. And as I mentioned, for me, this was particularly what I used when I was trying to find a lifeline. And when I asked, I certainly got the answer. So we are going to go to our next break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the other things that I've used over the last few weeks to help provide me with a little bit of clarity about what exactly it was that I felt like I needed at this time to manage myself. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse at PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I have posed the question, who holds the leader? But before I go to that, I just wanted to invite all of you to head over to my website when you have a moment, www.pavitraleadership.com. That's P-A-V-I-T-R-A leadership.com, where you can learn more about me, the work that I do, and more about some of the things that we will talk about as we move through the rest of today's show. And I am sharing all of the modalities that I have been using ferociously to bring calm and peace to my world, so I didn't actually pack up my stuff and run away. So anyways, getting back to it, do you have the answer yet? Who holds you when you are needing that lifeline? And throughout today's show, I've been sharing the first answer that came to my head was no one. And if you'd seen me in that moment, you would have laughed hysterically. I was absolutely being like a three-year-old toddler having a pitching a fit. But I was like, nobody. That really was not the truth. When I took the time to calm the internal storm and just hold the walls of pressure away for a moment and calm myself enough, the real answer was able to emerge. And the truth of the answer was, I always have my spirit team in everything that I do at all times. That's number one. But number two, and aside from that, I was gently reminded of the three lovely women who have entered my life, and they're like my soul sisters. I love them. They know that. And when I picked up the phone and was vulnerable enough to call them and ask for help, they, without a shadow of doubt, dropped everything and made space for me, which is absolutely what I needed. So in the last episode, not last episode, sorry, last segment, what I talked about in terms of, you know, some of the things that we can do to begin to open yourself up as a channel so that you can receive the information. The guidance is there. It's always there. There are so many things that I've read that's like, you know, your guides are literally trying to talk to you 24/7, like all day, knocking at the door. Hello, are you there? And we're just so bogged down with stuff that we think we're Not to say that the things that we're working on are not important. That's not at all what I'm saying. But we just get so distracted and so focused on like what all the things that we think are so important that it's exceedingly difficult to hear the guidance when it comes through. So when I was able to clear away all of the noise, all the mess, my emotions, all that stuff, or you know, just create some space, then I was able to see and hear the answer very clearly on what I needed in that moment. And then when I asked for it, I got it. The other thing that I have reminded myself or been reminded that I absolutely need is movement. And I mean, whatever feels good in your body, it is going to be different for everybody. Now, there is obvious physical movement in terms of like, you know, running, walking, yoga, whatever floats your boat. And trust me, when I had like the knots all in my back, it was ridiculous. Like somebody was trying to give me a massage out of my shoulders. It was like, I was literally like, don't touch me because it was so tight. It was ridiculous. I don't know the last time I was that wound up, but the thing is that I've made it such a practice to become so intimately in tune with my body that I remember one day I just sat on my mat, my yoga mat, and all that I did. So this is another example of, you know, opening up that intuition and opening up that channeling and guidance. I didn't follow a program or download a, you know, yoga practice or anything like that. All that I did was I just said, what is it you need today, body? What do you want from me? And whatever I got, I did. So if it was a downward dog, it was a downward dog. If it was a cat cow, I did a cat cow. If it was like a pigeon or like there was so much stuff that was literally stuck in my body. So it was a lot of yin that I found that I was doing. But the point that I'm trying to drive at is that I took the time again to stop and listen to what my body needed, and I simply followed it. And that one day of like maybe a 30-minute, very, very intentional practice where I wasn't in my head about performing the best pigeon or judging myself for, you know, how tight my hips. I wasn't doing any of that. And I wasn't in a yoga class. I was at my house and, you know, doing my thing by myself. But when I stopped and got quiet enough to just genuinely listen to what came through and feeling into my body, right? Because if you're in tune with your body, you can feel where the tension is and you can literally ask it, hey, what's this about? And whatever you think or hear or whatever the case may be, follow that. That is guidance. That's one type of body work or energy work, right? Because now we're moving, we're breathing, we're moving the breath through the body. And so ultimately, what are you doing? You're moving the energy through your body. But the other type of energy work that I'm talking about is something that is more akin to Reiki. So again, assuming we're all channels, we all have the ability to do it. I think we can all, if you're here and you're watching this and you're still here, then you understand that everything in this experience is about energy. I often use the analogy of simply walking into a room and either feeling really uplifted by it or really dragged down by it, or someone who walks into the room and their energy lifts it up because they're just so bright, or is a complete Debbie Downer. No offense to the Debbies out there, but brings the energy down. And so this is exactly what we're talking about. Energy can 100% get stuck in your body. And so when I gave the example of the individual who I drew the stick person for with all that stuff, that energy that they did not want to let go of, right? And how did I know that? Because they were trying to like push it down and set it. Like, I'm just going to push it down. I'm just going to pretend it's not there and I'm just going to avoid it. We don't avoid anything. We ultimately just tuck it away into like crevices within our body. And then they just begin to take on their own. I mean, my belief is that's where illness begins, is the stuff that we choose not to process, the stuff that we hold on to emotionally and energetically that we do not allow to leave the body and ultimately just festers into something that is fully physically manifested somewhere down the road. So back to the energy work, one way of moving the energy, as I said, is through physical movement, whatever feels good in your body. The second thing is through something more like Reiki. For those of you who are not familiar with what Reiki is, it's a very old Japanese practice of tuning into the energy of the divine or source energy. And, you know, there are some things that you need to do. There's certifications that you can go through to become a certified Reiki master. And ultimately, what you're doing with Reiki is you are opening yourself up to the divine intelligent energy and allowing that to go where it needs to go within your body to heal what needs to be healed. And it's done with your hands, generally speaking, not necessarily physically, skin to skin, but it can absolutely be done just like with the intention of directing that energy there. It can be done in person. It can be done remotely. There's many, many different ways to do it, but this is equally something that I do often for myself and for those who allow me to do it for them. And ultimately what we're doing is we are looking to, if you think about it, what you're looking to do is you're looking to like break down. If you think about Reiki in an energetic sense, but liken it to massage, massage is like breaking up those knots or making them smaller so that when you're flushing your system with water, they move through, but they've been broken down so that you can do that. Reiki is practically the exact same thing, or very, very close in theory. You are basically identifying where there are blocks or identifying where there is some healing that needs to happen. And you are helping the body to release those things. So when I work with people on with things like Reiki, it's not unusual for things to get stuck. And so when we begin to, I don't want to say agitate, but encourage these things to move through the body, it's not unusual for you to feel a whole bunch of things come up. And those are the things that we've been suppressing. We don't generally suppress happiness. Happiness is generally not something that I think stays stuck in the body. It's the heavier stuff that we as humans are really, really good at holding. I don't even know why we would do that. Like, why would you want to hold on to like anger and sadness and anyways, my point is that Reiki is the practice of helping to remove those energetic blocks so that you can really be a clear channel for the information that is coming to you from the divine. So that was another thing that I had done during all of this time, was to do a lot of energy work on me. But remember, I said I was feeling very tapped from, you know, a few weeks back, where I wasn't just doing energy work for myself. I was doing energy work for all kinds of people. And it was pretty intense. So at some point I was just like, that's it. I'm done. I'm not doing any more. I don't even have enough for myself. And that is when you know that you've gone too far, is when you do not have anything left for yourself. And I just decided I'm just going to take a little break for a little while. So if you're interested, you can Google it in your community. There's plenty of practitioners and instructors in the art of Reiki. But it's certainly a practice that if you learn, it's easy to learn. You can do it on yourself, you can do it on others, and it's just another modality to help the healing process so that these things can be a little more digestible as we move through this fantastic journey called life. And the last one that I had worked on over the last few weeks, and these ones I try not to do too many for myself, but various types of readings. And those readings would be things like oracle cards or runes or tarot cards, dowsing rods, even just straight up channeling. I try not to read for myself because whether I like it or not, I'm generally attached to an outcome. If I'm not so particularly attached to the outcome, then yes, I will absolutely read for myself. But I found, interestingly enough, what I found is that for a lot of this stuff, because I think I do it so infrequently for myself, when I was able to like sit down and just, you know, throw the cards and see what was coming up, it was really accurate. And because it was so accurate with where, and not, I'm not saying that in the way of like, I'm surprised. I'm saying it in the way of like, I know that the guidance was true because everything that would be revealed to me through these cards was just like, yep, 100%. And intuitively, as I would be going through this, I'm like, oh yes, I knew that. Okay. I'm avoiding that. Okay. Yeah. You want me to do that. So when that happens, I'm just like, okay, so you're already the cards are already validating what I already intuitively knew. And just to be clear, all of these external tools, we are already channels. Every single one of us, we are already channels. The tools are really more of just a validation, but you do not need any of them. When we come back, we're going to our next break, but when we come back, we'll do a recap of all of this, and then we will continue on with this episode of Who Holds the Leader. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I've posed what I think is a super juicy question for any of you who are listening today, which is, who holds the leader? And throughout today's episode, I've been sharing my journey over the last few weeks and months of this big question that was looming in my world about who holds me when I need it. And my first instinctive response was to say no one. But when I used a variety of different modalities and practices and was able to like kind of clear away the debris, I was able to see the true answer. And the true answer was number one, my spirit team, and number two, the three people who came to my mind when I asked. And as I've been saying throughout today's episode, they did not disappoint. As soon as I called them, they were there for me in a heartbeat. And thank you, thank you, thank you. You know who you are. And I am beyond grateful that they were able to hold me when I needed to be held. So just as a recap of some of the things that I do for myself and as well as do for other people through Pavitra Leadership. You know, I worked on some breath work, meditation, energy work. So the energy work being both physical and purely energetic, so Reiki type of energy work. And in addition to that, I use some divination tools such as oracle cards, dowsing rods, tarot cards, all of those things. And I found that all of these things, all of these tools, and as I said right before we went to break, none of these things are things that we actually need, these extraneous tools. We are all a channel, and that was one of the other things that I had mentioned here today. It's just straight using yourself as a channel. And the one way to easily get into that is through the practice of automatic writing. And all of these things that I offer to you today, ultimately, they're exactly that. They're just tools to help you get closer to yourself. It's not about you know, giving away your authority or giving away your power outside of yourself. As I said repeatedly, you don't actually need any of these things. They're just basically ultimately something that assists you in building that trust with yourself as a channel and someone who does receive the information so that you can begin to integrate the practical and the spiritual. And that's really what this is all about, is how do we do this? So today's episode is really, again, I guess another one where I am sharing with you in real time what full integration looks like to me. And for me, it's really important to, you know, when we talk about the spiritual and the practical, one of the biggest things that I often share is that I think that there is fully a place to do this thing integrated in real time. And so hence the reason I'm sharing this with you. I shared the struggles in the workplace that I was having, the vulnerability, the crying in my office, the wanting to hide those things, and all of the myriad of things that I used to, you know, gain some clarity. And then even when I think about it, you know, as I come through it or on the other side of it, and now I start to think back on like that little bit of a challenging time, you know, I start to ask myself some other questions, which is like, why was I so worried about being vulnerable? And if I'm being honest, the answer was, I was clearly judging myself. Forget about anybody else judging me. I was obviously judging myself because I, somewhere deep within me, felt like, oh, if I cry, I'm weak. If I show that I need to be vulnerable, I'm weak. They're going to think that I'm weak. I even listen to some of my language sometimes where somebody will be really gentle with me and I'll be like, what? Do you think I'm a gentle flower that will be broken? So clearly there's somewhere within me that I believe that there will be judgment, but clearly I was judging myself. And ultimately, I think that there was fear that, you know, the people that are close to me in the workplace might think that I'm not capable, that I don't know what I'm doing, because I'm having like a fully human moment. You know, I say to my folks all the time, I'm like, we're whole human beings. And the idea that we walk in the door and everything that's going on in our life gets parked at the door. We absolutely try. But the truth is sometimes things are heavier than we can even anticipate. And we have to be able to allow for that very human to human connection to take place. And when I finally was able to just set it down and let things go and be really quiet with myself, I was really pleasantly surprised that by my willingness in a way that I did not share with anybody, is almost like what opened the door to allow other people to feel safe enough to join me in that space of vulnerability. So as we round out today's episode, I want to leave you with a couple of questions that I would like you to think about. So if you are somebody, so the obvious first question is, who's holding you? Is it a friend, a family member, a spouse, a coworker? Who is it? And if you don't have someone, find someone. If you are struggling right now, is there someone in your life who has never seen you struggling? And is there a reason why? And if so, and these are not questions that you have to share with anybody, it's meant to be like a journaling prompt for you. And another follow-up question is, were you afraid of what would happen if you showed that vulnerability and that very, very human side of yourself? When you find yourself being in a place and space of being, we'll say, emotionally vulnerable and raw, think back. Who was the first person that you let in? And why? And can you cultivate more people like that? It doesn't have to be a large group of people, but do you have more than one person? And last, what do you want to be true about how you're held a year from now? So today, I hope that you find value in what I shared with you. And until next time, please take care of yourselves.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.